I was really in a bad place. I didn't know anyone. I was really struggling with my mental health. I was two hospitalizations in at that point. The year that I was hospitalized for the second time, I won the Sales Rep of the Year award for my company. Like, just there's no indication outwardly that I was struggling at all.
For those who struggle with mental illness, many times they struggle alone. It's a very lonely road. Can you imagine hospitalizing yourself for your mental struggles? Not one, but two times, and not a single person knows about it. Everyone else thinks you have it made because your outside world looks successful and worthy and awesome. Our guest, Justin, struggled with mental illness for years. Justin tried to chase his happy with outside achievements and accolades, only to find they didn't bring true happiness. Through a chance invite from a girl he liked, which, spoiler alert, became his wife, she invited him to go serve others, and his heart was opened and his world was changed. So much so that he started his own journey of healing by serving, and even started a company called Project Helping, which is a tech-based company that helps employers encourage their employees to serve their community. He also started Kind Kits, which is a subscription-based company that sends service projects to your family each month that you can do together. Justin, through his past, through his story, he's made his life about serving and volunteering because he knows how important it can be to our own healing journey when we serve another. Hi, I'm Christy Hayes and co-founder of Be Strong Story, a family mission and company founded because of a little lunchbox note my husband wrote my son that said,
"Be strong, protect the weak, love everyone."
That's right. We believe those three lines can change our world if we live them out. Each week, we'll be sharing an inspiring and real story of others who are displaying this message of love in big and small ways in their community. Because every way matters. We hope each story will inspire you to make this message your own. Let's go love the world, you guys. Thank you, Justin, so much for being here with me.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
So we met through a mutual friend, Micah, and we met at a Starbucks. And the funny thing is, so I had never, you had this like calendar, super fancy, like calendar link, meeting thing. And it was like, meet for 30 minutes and here's where you meet me. And it was, I use it now because it's fabulous. It's so fabulous.
Huge time saver.
But it was so funny. I remember walking in the Starbucks and I'm like, I feel like I'm on a blind date because I didn't know what you look like. So I'm like Googling your face and then I'm looking all around to find you. But we finally connected and here we are now. So it's fun that you live in the same city. Okay, so here's the deal. I didn't know. I feel like you told me this when we met, but the golf thing. I mean, I need to know more about this because I played all sports in high school. But golf is something that I know nothing about. Give me the like 411 on your golf past.
Yeah, so it's really unusual because I did grow up in a town of 900 people.
Oh,
and
wow.
So it's not like golf. It's not like golf was a popular topic, top popular sport.
Right.
But I have a friend invited me to play when I was like 10, I think. And I just went because they could ride in the golf cart.
Yeah.
But I was hooked on it from an early age, and I played Division I college golf. And then when I was 19, I moved to Phoenix to try and play for a living. So I did that for a few years, which, I mean, to be honest, I make the analogy often, like moving to Phoenix to try and play golf for a living is sort of like moving to Hollywood and saying you're an actor. Like everyone is doing it. So, you know, I tried and clearly it didn't work out, but it was a really cool experience. And then just as a byproduct of playing for a living, I ended up sort of working jobs in the golf business to make ends meet and then just kind of never left.
Eventually left. Is it Ping? Yeah, Ping. Okay, so yeah, I said Ping. That right. Okay. Tell me kind of like in the intro, I talked a little bit about kind of just even your struggles with mental wellness. Give me kind of the background of that, because I know that is something that a ton of people struggle with that we might not even know do. So I'd love to hear just kind of the background of that.
Well, and that's a good point too, because I think I started struggling in hindsight, like in middle school.
Okay.
And I didn't have the vocabulary or the understanding of what I was dealing with to even talk about it. And frankly, even if I did, I don't know that I would have. I mean, in a small town and 25 years ago, mental health wasn't a topic of conversation. And even though it's more prevalent as a conversation point now, it's still super hard to talk about for people that are struggling.
Sure.
But given that I didn't talk about it, given that I didn't have resources and frankly didn't have Google, like it's not like I could look up and find the symptoms at that point.
Right.
I looked around and tried to pinpoint, okay, who are the people that look happy to me? Like, what do they have? What do they do? I'm going to go that route. And when you go about it trying to just look outwardly at what makes people happy, inevitably you settle on sort of, oh, the people with the money and the stuff and the, you know, the nice things. And so I went that route. And my goal was always to be really successful professionally in hopes that that professional success would make me happy,
yeah.
Which doesn't really work. But so I went that route. I was like, okay, professional golfers make a bunch of money. I'm pretty good at that. Let's see how that pans out. That was a losing proposition, by the way. But I started working in the business and I had a really, really successful career as a professional in the business, in the corporate side of golf. And I mean, I was 24 and I mean, I got my first sales territory. I was the youngest sales rep in the history of the company, and I was making way more money than I should have been. At the same time, I had just come off my first hospitalization for my mental health. So I think, like a lot of people, I felt like I was living sort of on these two divergent paths of deeply struggling personally and having a significant amount of success professionally, but just really not being willing at that point to do anything about it was really the worst part, probably.
Did anybody know you were struggling with that? Like, when you went to the hospital, like who took you there? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I took me there.
Okay.
And no, literally no one knew. I made up some story about why I was in there. I don't even remember what I said, frankly. But no, not a soul knew. I was there for 3 days by myself, which is a whole nother conversation, right? But no, not a soul knew. And really no one knew, for the most part, no one knew until I left the golf business to start this organization, which at that point was, you know, 20 years of dealing with it on my own.
Wow. And how many years from, like, after leaving the golf business did you start Project Helpy? Like, how many years in between there?
Well, I actually started it while I was still in the business. So okay. I did it on the side for a while, for about a year. And the reason was I actually had just moved to Denver. So this is 10 years ago, okay. Almost to the day. I had just moved to Denver and I was really in a bad place. I didn't know anyone. I was really struggling with my mental health. I was 2 hospitalizations in at that point.
And still no one knew.
No, not a soul. Still again, no. I mean, that was
okay.
The year that I was hospitalized for the second time, I won the Sales Rep of the Year award for my company. Like,
oh my
just
gosh.
there's no indication outwardly that I was struggling okay. at all. And so I had moved here and didn't know a soul. So I was actually literally isolated, plus the isolation that comes along internally was struggling and that sort of feeling. And so I had been here for a couple of years actually, and I started dating a girl, and it was like our third date, and she said, "Hey, I'm gonna go volunteer this weekend. Like, would you like to come along?" And two parts. One, you say yes to that because, you know,
because you're
you
a
say,
jerk if you don't.
I don't volunteer.
Sorry.
Like, that's not gonna play real well,
yeah,
frankly. It'd be like,
exactly.
Great, nice to know you.
Right.
And secondly, the whole, like, by the way, I'm crazy probably. It's third date's like a little too early for that also. So I was like, no, I'd love to go. And I genuinely had never done anything for any other human being, you know, that didn't involve me making money. But I was deeply, deeply moved by that experience. I went there, we were planting or building a garden for a underserved middle school in Denver. And within 20 or 30 minutes of being there and sort of hearing what the mission was and how we were going to impact these kids, I was instantly hooked. And it was genuinely a life-changing moment. Because there's the first thing I found that gave me sort of a sense of purpose and gave me something to look forward to. So that was the moment. And then, you know, fast forward 2 years after that, and I had started to really use volunteerism as my own therapy. And I had tried everything else,
okay,
like you name it. And I had tried it from a mental health treatment standpoint. So, so a couple of years later, it was really that experience and saying, gosh, I feel like, you know, we could structure this experience and this volunteerism as a specifically as a tool to help other people that are just wanting to work on their mental health for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And so that's really where it came from. But I did it for about a year while still having a full-time job, and then eventually made the leap to, you know, leave a really good corporate job to run a small nonprofit.
Yeah. Tell us about that nonprofit. Like, what's that do to kind of, I mean, your story obviously is what made you, you know, start this. And that's what I love so much about hearing from our guests is like, there's something usually that happens in their life that is impacting them or it's powerful to them. And then they're like, ooh, this helped me so much. I want to help others. Yeah. So tell me about that.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, that experience of going and volunteering that day, it was genuinely like one of those light bulb moments, right? Like I often talk about how, you know, we get stuck in what we're doing and the people that we're around regularly, and we build these sort of bubbles. Like, this is where I live. These are the people I associate with. This is what I know. And that day genuinely burst that bubble, and the whole world seemed to just look different at that point. And that sounds really grandiose, but like, when you're in this really dark place of depression and anxiety, like, it genuinely felt like a huge shift in my just perception. When I started volunteering sort of as a treatment, essentially a self-treatment for my mental health, I got really frustrated with how hard it is to find stuff to do. At that point, I was like, why is it so hard just to go sign up and help, right? Like, it's really complex and time consuming and difficult to find stuff. And so it was really that experience of, more than anything, the frustration of having found something that was so good for me and my mental health, and then the sort of real frustration of not being able to access it, mm-hmm. which that story is not unusual when it comes to mental health. I mean, all sorts of mental health resources are tough to access. So that was the inspiration to start this thing, to sort of say, look, I think there's a better way we can do this, a better way to position volunteerism, and a way to make it, frankly, easier for people to do as a resource to build mental health. So it was literally build it from scratch. Nothing like that existed. And I had no experience with that. I hadn't started a business. I hadn't started anything. So, but I think, you find the passion for it and you just sort of figure it out as you go.
Yeah. Give me the first steps. Cause now you're a successful nonprofit, you know, we know what you do, and I want you to kind of dig into, like, if I was a person who wanted to be with Project Helping, what would that look like? But kind of go through that, you know, that starting step, like, okay, you realize that this was something that was hard to access, which I get, like, this is what we do with these Strong Story Families. And we're kind of the conduit to help people find things to do. Cause everyone does, when they taste serving, they want to serve, they want to do it. But you are in that bubble where you have, like, for now, I mean, I have two kids in soccer and gymnastics, and I can give you all the excuses in the world as to why it's so hard to find something. But I agree. Like, we have to make it accessible. And it's all about relationships. I mean, that comes with it as you find, you know, relationships. But talk about kind of that step from, hey, this sucks that we can't find anything accessible, and kind of making it into this company that it is now. What were those hard steps to go?
Yeah, for sure. So I think I sort of, it's funny because I, again, had no experience doing that. So I, the intention was really, or the idea really was based purely out of passion and experience. So I had no real concept of how I was going to execute on it outside of saying, this is what I sort of feel this in my gut. Like, this is what this needs to look like. So it was honestly just a great deal of sort of time and trial and error of, okay, if I did it this way, what would that look like? If I did it that way, what would that look like? And just sort of initially building a really simple concept, make it really easy to get involved with volunteer stuff for mental health, for a mental health benefit for the volunteer. So I started just frankly asked around. I started calling random nonprofits and just saying, hey, what would it take to bring a group to volunteer here? And sort of sharing the vision. And I was really moved, I think, initially by the openness and the willingness of other organizations to work with us and just say, hey, well, you know, we love what you're doing. We'll be flexible in how we accept your group and so on and so forth, so that we could execute on what we were doing. The rest of it, I wish I could say there was like this really great roadmap, but I genuinely, honestly, like, made it up as I went, which I don't advise. I wouldn't teach a class on making it up as you go. And it just sounds so strange, but I, you know, I, I just sort of had this, like, for the first time in my life, I had this really, like, deep belief that this is what I was supposed to be doing. And I was just like, you know what, if I don't do this, the reality is, I was like, if I don't do this, I'm going to regret it forever. So I have to try, and I'll figure it out as I go. And I just, it, one of the things I think that's been really, really helpful is the amount of people that are willing to give their time and energy and money to help make it happen. You know, I'll take next to no credit for anything we've accomplished, because it's really about the people that are around us that have helped. So, yeah, we started small. We did like 15 events the first year. And we literally just continued to build on that and find new partners and new partners and new volunteers and new volunteers, to the point where we did almost 500 volunteer events just in 2018 alone.
Wow. So you're basically matching. So if I am like, hey, I want to volunteer somewhere, but I don't know who to call, I don't know what to do, you match them up, you pair them up with the place that needs volunteers. So again, it's that whole needs. They're not going and just making a mural for some random school to make themselves feel better. You know, we've talked about that before. Right. But they're actually... Yeah. Like, serving is meeting a need, even if it's like messy and even if it's sacrificial, that's why you're serving. You're serving to meet someone's need. So you're matching those people up.
No doubt. Yeah, sort of. So when we go to a nonprofit partner and we find, we sort of propose to them, or in a lot of cases now we get nonprofit partners coming to us saying, hey, can you bring volunteers? We need volunteers. It's more a matter of trying to build that sort of mutually beneficial relationship, right? So instead of saying, hey, you as an individual, Christy, you want to volunteer, here's a place. We go to the nonprofit partner, we create a recurring relationship where we say, we're going to come back every month on the third Saturday, because that's when you need people to do this thing. And now we create this series of events that are group-based. So we don't place any individuals. We say, look, every project helping event is a project helping group. But you as an individual can sign up to join that group. So one of the things that's really powerful about that is you sort of have this instant built-in little mini network of people, this mini community that you can then volunteer with, and you get to know people. And it's as much the sense of connection and belonging and the sense of community as it is the serving. All of those things are really valuable together. But that's why we do only group-based events, right? You sign up as an individual for sure. But you're going to be joining a group of project helping volunteers every time.
I love, number one, that you're doing reoccurring, because I think that's the thing is what I've seen in serving is that we have to build relationships. So I can go to these different places, and even though we take different families to different organizations, my dream is that they somehow connect with a certain, whether it's the veterans home or the elderly home or those with special needs, that they connect there and they keep taking their family back, because there's nothing worse than like going and serving and then like the next month being like, peace out, you know? So I love that reoccurring. Today, I just wanted to thank our sponsor, Allergy Free Baking Company. They are a dedicated gluten-free and nut-free bakery specializing in flavorful and unique baked goods that everyone can enjoy. They are locally owned and are located off of C470 and Quincy in Morrison. So if you are in Colorado, you better stop by. They are passionate about making natural and wholesome alternatives. I cannot tell you how important this is personally to my family. Many times, my husband and his family would not be able to eat the things that we were able to eat. And even if we did find some gluten-free dessert, it wouldn't be that good. But Allergy Free Baking Company has given us the freedom to provide delicious baked goods for our family and our friends who we host who are also gluten, nut, dairy, egg, or soy-free. You don't even have to have allergies to love this place. Thank you so much for sponsoring us today and providing delicious foods and a full heart behind each one. You can go to www.allergyfreebakingcompany.com to learn more. Tell me how you've seen community built through serving.
Yeah, so as I said, everything we do is group-based. And what we normally see is volunteers come and sort of sample the – again, so we have 500 events and about 40 active different nonprofits where you can volunteer with us. So someone will come and, you know, the first month try, say, Urban Peak, which is a youth homeless shelter. And the next month they may try Denver Children's Home. And the next month they may try something else. Usually they settle into one then that they absolutely really love. And then they keep coming back month over month because all of ours are recurring. So what happens is with that pattern, you end up getting these sort of micro communities of people that are coming back to the same ones over and over again. And now they get to know each other and they expect to see each other there, and they build these connections and these sort of, again, little micro communities of 5 to 15 people that are always coming back to the same place every month, same time. And it's really that. I mean, I think it's just people get to know each other and get comfortable. But to your point, they also get to know the nonprofit and the people they're serving. And we see it all the time. Again, to what you mentioned, people come and participate at, again, say Urban Peak as the example. And then they say, I'm going to start, we're there once a week, but they say, hey, I want to start going on my own as well, or I have stuff I want to donate to there. And in our opinion, if someone comes and volunteers and then they go off on their own and start serving with that place, that's a win for us. Like, that's totally part of their lifestyle now. So awesome. Like, we've accomplished our mission. You have service as a part of your regular, you know, your regular life. Like, that's everybody wins. So
how do you think we can make serving a habit in our lives with all the things going on? You've obviously built a way that we can do that. But how would you tell our listeners who have a busy pack schedule? I mean, how can we make that something that's so important that it's just the DNA of us and it just is literally a habit, like brushing our teeth?
Yeah, well, it's good you bring that up, like the daily habit, because that's really what we encourage. We built early on in this process, we built our mission into this daily focus that we call kindfulness. And the concept there is, you know, service doesn't always have to be this grandiose, you know, 3 or 8 hour experience on a given day, right? So our focus there is, and we've broken it down into sort of three pillars, which is, yes, go volunteer when you can, when and where you can. But every day, sort of approach it with an intentional mindset of doing an act of kindness for someone, right? Like, look for and be intentional. We call them intentional acts of kindness because I think just having that mindset of being proactive is really important. We talk about gratitude as the third pillar of that, like being grateful. And so if you do those things every day, like, you're being of service. You're being of service to the people around you. You're being of service to your own mental well-being. And again, it doesn't have to be this grandiose thing where it's this huge commitment or anything like that to sort of act with a service heart every day.
Right. I think that's so key, is that I think people get overwhelmed because they're like, oh my gosh, I have to go to this different country and serve the people there, and I have to do this. And it is these small acts of just keeping our eyes open to the things around us. It could be our neighbor, it could be whatever. And being intentional. Is there a certain thing that you do, even like when you wake up in the morning, to get you in this mindset before the day even starts?
Well, I think it's just like building any habit, right? Like, you really initially have to put in the effort. You have to sort of every day be very mindful of, like, I'm just going to look for something good to do for someone today. But once you do that, once you build that habit for the first month, you know, the first 3 to 4 weeks, you build that habit. I mean, it sounds really bad. Like, it's genuinely almost second nature. Like, it's hard for me to get in line at a coffee shop or, you know, see someone that, you know, drop something and not instinctively want to help and do that thing. And it's, that's not meant to sound like I'm not trying to be braggy. I'm just saying it becomes a habit, like, where that's, you just see those things differently. Right. And you have to definitely take the mindset initially of being very intentional about it, but it does become a habit just like anything else.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. It's interesting to me that you said you didn't even start this journey until you were 24 years old. I mean, like,
no, that's when I got my job with the golf company, frankly. I mean, I didn't start this nonprofit till I was 32.
Yeah, but 31. You said you didn't volunteer until, how old were you when you first volunteered?
I was, I was like in my late 20s.
I mean, so that to me is like, okay. For those who are listening, who are like, oh, maybe I didn't grow up in a family like you, that your family did stuff all the time with people. Like, it doesn't matter how old you are. You went from, like, I mean, selfish. Like, I don't want to say that, but you're saying
Like, it's true.
You were a little bit selfish.
I was deeply, deeply selfish.
Okay, okay.
No question.
Okay. So you went from selfish to, like, now starting a company that helps not just individuals, but now you have a part of your company that also helps businesses do this. Talk a little bit about that. But I think I just wanted to let listeners know, like, you can be 1,000 years old. Like, you can be 100 years old and have been selfish your whole life and hear like this and go, wait, my life has been about me, and that does not serve me well. Because I guarantee people who are living for themselves do not feel that purpose. They might be making bank. They might be having the cars and the money. But inside their hearts, I would say 100% of people don't feel that connection to community. They don't feel that connection to others or that purpose until they better someone else. I mean, I cannot express it enough. So tell me a little bit about how 100%. You kind of transitioned into not just helping individuals, but going into businesses and going, okay, wait a second. We can actually help productivity because we know serving others helps. We want to help your employees do that.
No doubt. It happened sort of organically. So early on, the more and more events that we started to create, the more and more interest we got from corporate entities or large organizations in general, because they're all looking for ways to serve as a company. And so we started getting a lot of requests saying, hey, we have 30 people, 50 people, 100 people. We want to go volunteer. But as they would look at our website, they would say, you know, we didn't know there were these wellness benefits to be had from serving. And the question was always, look, how would we capitalize on that for our people? How would we take advantage of that for building mental well-being in our team? And, you know, companies, I think, really struggle, not to their fault, but they really struggle to figure out what to do about mental well-being. Because if your approach as a company is, we're going to identify who needs help, then get them the help that they need, you will fail 80% of the time. Because again, like me, if my company was looking for people that were struggling with their mental health, they would have never identified me as that person.
And you would have never said, check the box that was like, hey, I need help. Right, right.
No chance. Frankly, my ego would not allow that at that point in my life either, right? So we started just very organically, and we started working with companies just to understand like why and how are they struggling to engage their people in the community. And then if we could better engage their people, how can we use that as a platform to talk about proactively building mental well-being for their people? Mm-hmm. And so as we learned how and why they struggle, we actually ended up building our own tech platform because gamification and sort of these fun challenges is a great way to engage people at any level, but really especially within a company. So we built this platform. It's called Kind Hub. And it's sort of structured like a social network, but it gamifies this practice of kindfulness to really proactively and inclusively build mental well-being for anyone in a company. Because the key really there is like when you say, hey, look, all of us together, every single person that works here, we are going to proactively, collectively work on our mental health. And it doesn't matter what your diagnosis is or isn't. Mm-hmm. We're all doing it. And now everyone can participate.
Right. And I think as a leader in a huge organization, I think sometimes they're like, we don't have time to do that because we're like bottom line. But what I see is the greatest leaders and the greatest businesses are the ones who have this arm that says, I want to help my people know what they're passionate about outside of work so that they can, because when they're passionate about something outside of work, they bring that passion into work. And so it's like, if you aren't burnt out at work, but you are getting to go experience community with your coworkers, doing something different than just work, but you're like literally getting in the trenches together, serving someone else. I mean, I've experienced it 1,000 times, but that is where my best friends and my best community happen. And so I encourage any listener who has a business that's listening to this, like, make sure that you have this component. So how do we, like, if I'm an individual or a business owner, how could I connect with you? Because I don't want to reinvent the wheel. I want to, like, literally sign up and you just tell me what to do. So tell me.
No doubt.
Tell us how to do that.
The single point for that is projecthelping.org. Okay. So when you go there, everything we do from the 500 volunteer events to Kind Hub to our Kind Kits, which are, you know, like a little deliverable volunteer project, everything starts on the homepage of projecthelping.org.
Okay. And we'll link that. Tell me about real quick Kind Kits, because I know about this and I love them so much. I want you just to explain what your Kind Kit is.
Well, you know, you mentioned it earlier when you said it's so hard to find the time and, you know, we're all super busy and it's, you know, everyone wants to do these things. Everyone wants to serve. I genuinely believe that. They want to do something to help other people. So from that, we actually built Kind Kits, which are boxed like a subscription box for volunteerism. So you sign up, every month is a different theme and it benefits a different cause. And they literally show up at your door like an Amazon delivery.
Like Stitch Fix.
But you open the box and 100% of what you need to do sort of a micro volunteer project is in the box. Give you an example, March's kit, since we're in March, your box shows up and let's say you have yourself and your two kids. You say, hey, I want three projects to show up to my house every month. You open it, there's three individual projects and you do them. And this month it's a like a hygiene kit for people experiencing homelessness. So you open it, you write, there's stuff to write a letter, write a card, you put that in the kit, you decorate the kit. There's a list of optional things you can add from around your house, and then you go hand it out. You know, you put it in your car, you give it out next time you see someone that needs it. And so it's simple things like that, but it just shows up every month, right? Like you don't have to set it and forget it, you know, that old saying, and it just shows up and you get to do something kind every month as a sort of reminder, like, oh yeah, I can do stuff that helps people even though I'm super busy.
Yeah, I love that. And I think it's a great starting point. I think even if it just starts people getting in that mindset where they'll start to do it on their own. But sometimes we just need a little bit of a reminder or a little bit of just an entry point to get in. So I love that you do that. I want to give you a question that I love asking people because I think, you know, we have a lot of like CEOs on here and nonprofit leaders and teachers and everyone. I always want to just remind people like you don't have to start a business. You don't have to start a nonprofit. I mean, people that hear me say this all the time, they're like, we hear you say this. Simple acts of kindness are love is love. It doesn't matter. Big acts of love, small acts of love, love is love. So I want to ask you, what is a simple act of love or kindness that someone has done for you that has made a lasting impact in your life?
Yeah. So I think for me, I mentioned the girl that invited me to volunteer. That girl actually ended up being my wife. So that story turns out really well.
Yeah.
But you know, I think it was that act of her inviting me to volunteer, inviting me to go along and do something with her, because at that point she had no idea that I was struggling, no clue, right? Like I had done a really good job in the first two dates of putting up a really good facade, right? So she had no clue, but that's sort of the point, is that one simple thing of just inviting me to go along genuinely changed the trajectory of my life. So it doesn't have to, you know, you don't have to do something for someone that is obviously and overtly struggling. You genuinely don't know when a simple gesture is going to literally change someone's life.
Or an invitation. I mean, she just invited you. You could have said no.
Yeah. No doubt. I mean, I wouldn't have. But I
definitely could have. You were smart. You were very smart. Well, thank you, Justin, for being on. This is this is so good for a lot of different topics. And the thing I love to do at the end is just encourage our guests from different people who see things in you. And first of all, all the things that you do are so amazing, but I always want to just encourage people, like, even if those were all stripped away, like who you are as a person is authentic and genuine. And I love how vulnerable you are to say, like, I was selfish and I didn't tell anybody about my, you know, mental health issues. And now you've started something because of that passion and the struggle that you had so that other people don't have to struggle with that. And that's such an inspiration to me.
Thank you.
And to others. And I just want to like affirm you in that you are like living in your purpose, and maybe you're not making the millions of dollars that you could have made in, you know, the professional golf industry. But you are changing lives like every day. And so I got a couple quotes from just some people who work with you and just had some things
you
to say
did.
About you. I did. This is my favorite part. I love it.
Okay.
Someone said, Justin is a visionary. He has the passion and drive to make his ideas and dreams a reality. And that is so true, because you didn't have a clue as to what you were doing and you did it. Justin is full of new ideas and he works harder than anyone I know to turn his ideas into real things that people love. Justin is brave. He willingly shares the darkest, most vulnerable parts of his life and himself in order to make the world a better, more accepting place. That's huge.
That's awesome.
You're welcome. That is so
huge. Super cool.
So I just wanted to encourage you that you're exactly where you need to be. I love that I've met you. I can't wait to continue to partner things with
likewise.
You. And thanks for being on today.
Yeah, super grateful to be here. Thank you.
Thanks, Justin. Have a great day. Hey, thanks for hanging out with our family today. We hope it inspired you and gave you ideas of how to live out love exactly where you are. We wish we could just hug each and every one of you and let you know what a difference you can make in this world. We would be so honored if you subscribed to our podcast, left a review if it inspired you, or shared with a friend, because we know word of mouth is actually what matters. And don't forget to share your stories at Be Strong Story on our social media of how you lived out the message of
Be strong, protect the weak, love everyone.
Because we believe with our whole hearts that every person can make a difference and inspire another. See you next week.